Yeshaya Perek Lamedalet. This Perek discusses how, in the end of times, all the nations that destroyed Eretz Yisrael, the nations that didn't believe in Hashem, will receive their punishment. Pasuk Aleph. Kirvu Goyim Lishmoa. Come close, nations, to hear. Ulu'umim Hakshivu. And the regime should be attentive. Le'umim is a sign, Rashi says, Le'om mil'om yemotz. When Rivka was told that in her stomach there were two nations, Le'om mil'om yemotz, and one would always be more stronger than the other, Rashi says Le'om is a lashon of malchus. It's a term that's used for monarchy, for royalty. That's a Le'om. Le'om is a more prestigious group of people. The Malbim says Le'um is a nation that's has the same religion. Goyim is just a collection of peoples. People living together are Goyim. Le'um is a sign of people of a higher level. That's a Le'um. And likewise, Eretz means the land. Whether it's habitated, whether it's civilized, or whether it's settled, Eretz is the land. Tevel is the place where you have civilization, where people are living, where it's been cultivated and settled. That's Tevel. Normally, when you want to give a message, you go to the Tevel, the settled part of the world, and you address the Le'umim, the important peoples that have Malchus, that have a religion. And then the word filters out to the rest of the world and to the uncivilized. But over here, when the end of time comes and Hashem brings His justice and those wicked receive their just punishment, Kirvu Goyim Lishmoa, the Goyim will come close to hear, Ule'umim Hakshivu, and then the word will filter out to the Umim, because it'll be so sudden, it'll be as if they all hear it together. Tishma ha'aretz umaloa, the land, the eretz, will hear umaloa with everything in the eretz, all the creatures and everyone will hear the news of what's happening, and then all be heard by the tevel v'chol tzetzoeh, by the settled part of the world v'chol tzetzoeh, and everything that lives in this tevel. It'll be so sudden, like the Goyim and the Le'umim and the Eretz and the Tevel. It'll all be at the same time, almost as if the Eretz and the Goyim hear it first. It'll be a sudden punishment that Hashem will bring. Ki ketzef l'Hashem al kol ha'goyim. Because Hashem has an anger on all of the Goyim. A fury. V'chema. And a wrath. I'll call Tzavam on all of their armies. The Malbim explains that chema is an anger, or is the feeling a person has inside. Like we have in Esther, Vayitzof HaMelech Ma'od, Achashverosh was angry, Vachamoso Boravo. And inside him there was a chema. A stronger fury that's not just shown on the outside, but it continues to boil within the person. That's the chema. Ki ketzef l'Hashem al kol ha'goyim. Hashem has an anger against all of the nations that sent their armies to destroy Yerushalayim. V'chema al kol tzavam. And those men that carried it out, the army that actually did the churban. There it's more than just a ketzef. It's a chema. It's the anger that remains within a person, that a person continues to feel. That's kaviyochol, the way Hashem feels to them. There's a chemal kol tzavam. Hecharimam nisonam latovach. And therefore Hashem is destroying them, and He's given them over latovach to be slaughtered. V'chalaleyem yushlochu. The dead bodies will be cast, will be like thrown down, there'll be dead bodies from those that are killed. A cholol is someone killed by the sword. Ufigreyem yalev osham. And the corpses, a peger is not necessarily killed by the sword. any dead body can be termed a peger. And the pigreim yalevosham, from the dead bodies there'll be the stench will rise. It'll be more than just a few people, but vinamasu harim midamam, it'll be as if the mountains will melt from their blood. There'll be many that will be killed from the wicked. And everything that happens down here on earth has a source. Just like when there's a tree, and you look at it in the winter, and you imagine the tree's dead, there's no leaves, there's no greenness, it looks dried out, and you imagine that the tree will never come again to life. But if there are roots in the soil, so when the season comes, and the spring comes, the tree will once again come back to life. Down here on earth, we think we're seeing the reality. But we're really seeing every nation, everything that happens on earth has its roots in Shamayim. There's every nation has its malach. V'nomaku kol tzvoa Shamayim. And when the wicked receive their punishment, it won't just be what we see down here on earth. But v'nomaku kol tzvoa Shamayim, all of them, the hosts of the heavens will dissolve. They'll melt away. And when they dissolve, so the nations that are depending on that force, that hashpa'ah, will also, the nations will be destroyed. And it will be permanent because their tzavah shamayim, their guardian angels, the malach and shamayim will dissolve. V'nagolu chasefer hashamayim. The heavens will be rolled up like a scroll. If you imagine the stars have their place on the sky, certain stars are they're fixed in their position, just as the earth turns, it looks to us like the sky is moving. Depending on the season, the stars will be in different locations. It looks like the whole sky is moving and shifting with the seasons, and the star, you know, with the months, and the stars move from their place in the sky. So if you look at the sky as if it's a scroll, and you roll it up, and just all those stars and luminaries and the sun, the moon, it's all rolled up and the world becomes black. And it's no longer spread out with the stars in their place. V'nagolu chasefer hashamayim, like a scroll that's rolled up. So too the heavens will be closed and it'll be dark. For all the, in a figurative sense, that all the nations will finally receive their just punishment. It could also mean that the astrologers would be able to look at the sky and see from the stars what is intended, what's going to happen to them. And if the sky is rolled up, as the Malbim says, the earlier nations had, the Shamayim was like a sefer, and they would gaze at the sky with their knowledge of astrology, and they could tell what was going to happen. What was going to happen in the future? We all know the famous Pasuk with Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu knew he could look at the stars and he knew that Avram would not have a child. So Hashem said, yeah, but the name will be changed to Avraham. But they knew, they could look at the stars, they knew exactly what was going to be. And every nation had its star. And they'd be able to look at that kochav, at that star, and they'd be able to read what was destined for their future and what would happen to their country, their nation. But when that's rolled up, means all of a sudden they won't be able to receive any information from the sky. V'chol tzva'am yibol, and all of their hosts will shrivel. Ki navol ole migefen, like the leaf of a grapevine shrivels. A leaf is very fragile, that as soon as it's cut off from the tree, it's so thin, it immediately shrivels, it loses its sustenance, its nourishment from the tree, from the roots. While a fruit can be picked, and because it's more self-contained, there's more to it, and it has the protective peel to it, and there's a greater substance, it can remain fresher and vibrant longer. But over here, ki navol ole migefen, like a leaf shrivels from the grapevine, which is such a thin leaf, it quickly, as soon as you detach it, you can see it starting to decompose. uchinovelas mita'eina. On the other hand, a leaf that falls to the ground, it does immediately start to decompose, but it's still edible for a while. The Malbim brings mishnayos that show the fig leaves were eaten on occasion, but it's still edible, it's still good for a while. But if you have a fig, for those who have fig trees, and your fig hits the pavement, hits the ground, even the dirt, it immediately becomes mias. It becomes repulsive. It's the fruit, as soon as it falls on the ground, it's no longer fit for eating. So it'll be kinavol olem igefen, like a leaf will shrivel from the grapevine, uchenovelis mita'eno, and the Malbim learns like the fruit of the fig tree that falls off the tree, and immediately it's not fit for use. Because Hashem says, my sword has been satiated from blood. We'll say to him that in the heavens, the sword has killed all the guardian angels, the malachim, and Shemayim. And then, Hinei al Edom Tered, will come here down on earth, and will come down onto Edom, the ones who destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, Valam Chermi Lemishpat, and on the people that need to be destroyed, the Am Chermi, the people of my destruction, that sword will now come Lemishpat, and it'll all be done with justice. Rashi says, Kiriv Sava Shemayim Charbi, Larog Sarim Shalmala, that my sword will first go in Shemayim and it'll kill the Malachim above. Va'achakach Tered al Amalek. Amalek is from Esav. Esav hu Edom. It's, the Pasuk mentions Edom, but it means Amalek, Rashi says. And then he'll come down on Amalek, lamata below. She'en kol uma loka ad she'yilke sar shalo b'morum. Until it's sar, it's malach and Shemayim is struck. After that, the nation down here receives the punishment. Cherev Lashem, a sword, the sword of Hashem, Moladom, is full of blood. Hudashna mechelev, and it's greased with fat. Midam korim vatudim, the blood of the fattened sheep. Vatudin is the he-goats. Mechelev kilyos elim, from the fat of the kidneys of rams. Kizevach Hashem b'votzra, Hashem is making a sacrifice at Botzra, v'tevach godol b'eretz Edom, and a great slaughter in the land of Edom. The Malbim explains, the pasuk is signifying two different ideas. The blood signifies the punishment. To spill blood is something that people don't use the blood. The blood is just spilled out. The blood is a sign of punishment. The chelev, the fats, signifies something that a person enjoys. A fattened animal, the richness, it's got calories, but they enjoy the fatness of the animal. The chelev, the fat, is considered a sign of being sated, and I'm enjoying the bounty and the fullness. That's the fat. Zevach is also something when you make a party. There's I assume like the pasuk zevach, he doesn't use the pasuk, but like zevach mishpocha lanu, we have a family meal, a zevach mishpocha, a gathering of the family. Tevach, a slaughter, just means to kill. Just to, in fact, by Yosef, when he said utevoach tevach v'hochein, the Malbim says, that's why Yosef used the term, just slaughter some animals and we'll eat. But he used the words tevach, utevoach tevach v'hochein, when Yosef wanted to eat with his brothers, because he didn't want them to think that he knew that they were brothers. If they'd be brothers, it would be a zevach. But this was just to slaughter some animals and we'll eat. But it wasn't a party, a seuda. His words is a zevach is nikshar, the musig, the concept of a zevach is hasimcha v'hachono letzorech kruim. When you invite guests, and you have a simcha, that's like zivchei shlomim. Zivchei Shlomim. How would you prepare who's coming and you, it's by invitation, and it's a nice, a simcha. She'is mechubam. The word tevach, it just means to slaughter, to kill. What the pasuk is saying is, there's two things. Those Edom that has come and destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, they are going to receive their punishment for the wickedness that they did. For them, there's going to be a tevach, it's a slaughter. There's going to be blood. In other words, it's a sign of punishment. Batsra was not part of Edom. Rashi says, before we finish the Malbim, Rashi says Batsra was from the land of Moab. Rashi learns that Batsra, even though it was from a different nation, from Moab, they produced a king for Edom. And therefore they're considered to be partners with what Edom did. They worked together with Edom. Shenemar, Parshas Vayishlach, Vayomos Chusham, Vayimloch Tachtov Yovav Menzerach Mebotsra, when it lists the rulers of Edom, one of them came from Botsra. And therefore, Batsra is punished together with Edom. The Malbim learns that Batsra is punished bavur ha'emuna because of they didn't have, before, they didn't have emuna in Hashem. They were served psilim and kochavim. They were idol worshippers. Batsra was the city, their main capital city, the Ir Emunosam, where their chief, their high priest lived. And now, in order that Batsra should receive the emuna, she'akiru esakel yisparach, that they should recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to show His control and His greatness. So cherev l'Hashem mol adam, the sword of Hashem is full of blood, there's going to be a punishment. Hudashna mechelev, and others are going to receive the punishment in order that there should be some enjoyment, some gain from them. They should recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There should be the fats. It will be greased. The sword will be greased with the fats. There will be at least some benefit from them. Midam korim v'atudim, from the blood of the fattened up sheep, the he-goats, mechelev kilyos elim, the fat of the kidneys of the rams, and kloyos is a sign. Kloyos is the kloyos yoatzos. The Gemara uses the term as if the kidneys counsel a person. They give advice. It's the seat of knowledge, of understanding, of counsel. So the chelev kilyos elim, Batsra is described as the kloyos, the ones that will give a counsel, will understand. Ki zevach l'Hashem b'Batsra, because in Batsra it's going to be a zevach. There's going to be a they'll be killed, but the purpose will be to bring the simcha of awareness of Hashem. V'tevach godol b'eretz Edom, but in the land of Edom, those that destroy the Beis Hamikdash, it'll be simply a slaughter, a killing that they'll be punished. V'yordu re'emim imam. The Ra'amim, the wild oxen, will go down to the slaughter with them. Uforimim abirim, the bulls and the fatted bulls. The nations are represented by the fattened up animals. And the animals all being killed is a sign for the nations receiving their reckoning at the end of days, their final punishment. Berivsa artsa midam, the land will be sated with the blood. Vafara mechelev yedushon, and the soil will be enriched from the chelev, from this fat. The fat, the eretz is below, the land is below. The ofar, the dirt, is considered to be what's above the eretz. The whole world under us, the whole earth, all the way down is called the eretz. The ofer is the dirt on top, the upper layer. So v'riv sa'artza midom, if the land is greased, the blood won't penetrate. The greasing is like a waterproofing. But here the blood will be first First, Berivta Artsa Midam, underneath the Eretz will be sated with the blood, and then the top layers, then Vafaram, Mechel of Yedushan, it will be fattened up, the offer on top will be fattened with the fat. And the Nimshal is that Edom, who's getting their punishment, the blood of Edom, the punishment will be first, and then afterwards, Butcher will realize the greatness of Hashem. Kiyom Nakam Lashem. Because there's a day of Nakam, of Nakama, of vengeance, where Hashem is finally going to give the punishment. Shnas Shilumim L'Riv Tzion. The Yom Nakam is for Butcher, who didn't recognize Hashem and believed in the idols, and now Hashem will give them their punishment, but as a result they'll recognize Hashem. And then there's the Shnas Shilumim L'Riv Tzion, a year of retribution for the grievance of Tzion. As Rashi says, it's as if Tzion is Tzoekes Lafanov. Yerushalayim, Tzion is crying out to Hashem that all these years and centuries, it's been destroyed, and where is justice? Hashem says his house is destroyed, and when is he going to show his greatness and once again the world should serve Hashem, and those that brought about the Churban should be punished. There'll be the Shnas Shilumim L'Riv Tzion. V'nevchu necholeho l'zefes. Its rivers were turned to tar. V'afara l'gofris. The soil will become sulfur, which ignites easily. V'hoysa artza. And its land will be l'zefes bo'era, burning tar. Laila v'yomam l'sichbe. And when there's a fire, there are different reasons why a person makes a fire. Sometimes a person makes a fire for cooking. And at night when he goes to sleep, so he puts out the fire. He's not eating anymore. Other times a person has a fire for heat. And then at night he wants the fire that he should have a little bit of warmth. And during the day he's outside of the house and he goes wherever he goes. He doesn't need to have the heating on. But here, Laila v'yomam lo sichbe. At night it won't go out because this fire is not for cooking. Or actually, the Malbim says during the day, the other reason for the fire is to provide light. Either the fire for cooking is not there at night, and the fire that's for light is not there during the day. So, but this fire is not for cooking, and it's not to provide illumination, and therefore, Laila v'yomam lo sichbe. The burning of Edom, Butra, by night and day will not be extinguished. La'olam yale ashono, its smoke will come up forever. Midor l'dor techerov, from one generation to the next generation, techerov will be destroyed. L'netzach nitzachim ein overbo, and for eternity, ein overbo, nobody, no travelers will go through this land. To build up a country, it's like Chazal say, Kol Dor She'ein Beis HaMikdash Nivne B'yomov, a generation that wasn't Zoche, that the Beis HaMikdash is built. A building, a construction, is the type of thing that's planned, and it's the project that takes time. It's every generation has its opportunity to build. But here, L'dor V'dor, from generation to generation, it will remain destroyed. Traveling can just be a haphazard thing, a took a quick trip. It's a moment. It's not the type of event that happens from a door to door. People travel. But here, l'netzach nitzachim ein overbo. For eternity, nobody will traverse, nobody will go through these lands of Edom. Rashi says, Rashi had learned that Edom here was referring to Amalek. L'dor v'dor techrov. From generation to generation, Amalek will get its punishment. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Milchama l'Hashem b'Amalek midor dor. Moshe Rabbeinu had the battle with Amalek, where he weakened them. Vayachlosh, Amalek was weakened. And then the next generation was by Shaul, where he also defeated Amalek and wiped them out, except for Agog and the animals. And then we had the generation of Amalek with Mordechai. the Nes of Purim. And then the final accounting will be the door of Melech Mashiachenu, of when Mashiach comes. But midor lidor, from generation to generation, Techra of Amalek will be destroyed, will have a punishment. Or it can mean from the point of this, when they finally get their punishment, it will last forever. And the Netzach Netzachim in Overba, for eternity, nobody will travel through these lands. V'reishua koas v'kipod. And now the Pusik describes how the land that's so desolate will now be taken over by the wild animals and birds. V'reishua koas v'kipod. The koas and the kipod are animals that dwell in the wild. V'yanshof v'orev yishkenubo. And the yanshof and the orev will dwell there. Here they translate it. Koas is the owl, and kipod is the bittern. Yanshuf is the great owl, and orev is the raven. But the raven and the great owl, the raven is something that could be among people. V'reishua as a Yerusha, as a permanent dwelling, as a Yerusha, that will be the koas v'kipod. Those birds that remain in areas of destruction. Other birds that sometimes stay in civilization, so they won't make a permanent home here. But the Yanshuf and the Orev, Yishkenuba, they'll dwell there. They'll come at times and they'll dwell there. V'nota leha kav tohu v'avne bohu. And Hashem will draw against these countries kav tohu, a line of emptiness, Va'avne bohu, and stones of bohu, of void, of nothingness. I just wanted to mention this Ramban. We all know the beginning of in the Torah, but the Ramban brings this pasuk as a proof to the translation of tohu and bohu. It says, "Bereishis bara Elokim es haShemayim es haAretz." At the beginning, Hashem created. When Hashem created Shemayim and Eretz, the land was v'aretz ha'isa sohu v'avohu. The land was tohu v'avohu. And Rashi says tohu means to be in wonderment. That a person would be in wonderment about bohu, the emptiness, that it was like nothing, and it was dark. And the Ramban says, the way the Ramban explains the Pusuk, I'm just going to read a little bit of the Ramban from Parshas Bereishis. He says, "V'ato shma pirush hamikra al pshuto nochon uborer." I'm going to tell you the pshat in the Pusuk correctly and clearly. HaKadosh Baruch Hu bara kol hanivroim me'afisa muchletes. Everything that's been created in the world came from an absolute vacuum. Me'afisa muchletes. There was absolutely nothing. We don't know what that means. In other words, the air is not nothing. The air is comprised of gases. But this is an absolute nothing. Ve'ein etzleinu b'loshen HaKodesh botzoas hayesh me'ayin el loshen bara. The only term that can show to make something out of nothing, literally nothing, the word for that is bara. Ve'ein kol hanasa tachas hashemesh olamala. Anything that's done under the sun or above the sun, anything is not hove min ha'ayin haschola rishona. Anything that's na'ase, that's done, is not done from nothing. If it's done from nothing, the word is bara. If you use the other terms, it means you had something that you fashioned and that you molded and that you created and you shaped and you did something with it. But the word bara means you're taking it from nothing. Aval hotzi min ha'efes ha'gomur. Hashem took from the absolute nothing, ha'muchlot yisodak me'od, some type of very fine yisod, a building block, a foundation or something, but it's tak ma'od, ein bo mamish. And there is no substance to it. Ein bo mamish. Aval hu koach mamsi, but Hashem created a power that mamsi that can produce other things. Muchon lekabel tzura. And this, whatever it is that Hashem created from nothing, that has no substance, but it has the koach that it could receive a form. V'lotzeis min ha-koach el ha-poel. V'hu ha-chomer ha-rishon. That is the first substance. Nikroli yevonim ha-yuli. The Greeks called it ha-yuli. I don't know if it's the atom, or it's the atom itself is composed of electrons and protons. But it's the smallest thing that is possible to be found. That you can't detect it. It has no mamoshes. But he refers to what the Yevonim, what the Greeks called it. But that's Bereshis Bara Elohim. Hashem was Bara, that from nothing, he created something that could be fashioned and shaped and formed. V'achar hayuli lo Bara Dovar. And after creating that, there was no more Bria. Avol Yotzar V'osa. Then Hashem took that substance, and he fashioned and he created and he did things with it. Kimimenu hotzi himsi hakol. Everything came from it. Vihilbi shatsuros. And the forms received their form. Vitikinos amen Hashem fixed it. Vida. And you should know ki ha-shamayim v'chol asher bohem chomer echad. The shamayim is one chomer. V'oretz v'chol asher bo chomer echad. And the land and everything in it is another chomer. And Hashem created both of them, Me'ayin, from nothing. Bereshis Bara Elohim. He was Bara, he created from nothing a substance for Shamayim and a substance for Aretz. Ushneim Levadum Nivroim. And those are the only things that was Nivra. After that, Vakol Nasi Mehem. Everything is made from them. Hashem was not Bara, an animal. Hashem was Bora, this initial substance, and from that he was Osa, he was Yotzar, he made an animal. V'achomer hazeh shekoru hayuli, nikro b'loshen hakodesh tohu. This substance, that's the finest item, it's dak ma'od, it's ein bo mamish, the word for that is called tohu. V'hamilin igzeres milishonam, and it comes from that idea of tohe ala rishonos. Like Chazal say, in wonderment, tohe. A person doesn't know, doesn't understand. Mipnei she'im bo adam ligzer bo shame. Because if you came to give a name to it, tohe, you'd be in wonderment. That's not what it's called. It's something else. Because it has no form to it. It's just a koach from which you can make something. But you can't label it as anything, because it can be fashioned into everything in the world comes from it. Everything comes from that tohu, that initial power. Everything in the world comes from it, but you can't label it because it has no shape, it has no mamushes. Whatever you call it, you would be mivnei shim bo adam ligzar bo shem. If you'd give a name, tohe, you'd be in wonderment. V'nimlach lekoro b'shem acher. You'd say that's the name; it should be something else. Kilo lova shatzura sheidvos bo Hashem klal, because it has no form. So how can you give it a name? If it's there's nothing to it. It's just this power, this koach. Now, v'atzura hanilbeshes l'chomer hazeh, the form that you give to this chomer, this substance, when it is given a form, nigres b'loshen hakodesh bohu. That's called bohu. V'amila mur keves, and the word bohu is a comprised of two subwords. Bohu is bohu, klomer bohu, bohu. It is in it. In other words, this is it. Kamilas lo suchal asohu is like asohu means to do it. So bohu is it is in it. Shemachuser avov aleph asohu. Oh, so now he gets to our pasuk here in Yeshaya. V'zeu she'amar hakosuv. That's what the pasuk means. V'nata aleho kav tohu. That Hashem will stretch over this land a line of tohu va'avne bohu, and the stones of bohu. What does this mean? Kihu hakav. When a builder, an architect, a contractor has the has the line. He draws the line of where the building and what he's going to do, where he's, how it's going to be done. That's the line that he draws. Kihu hakav asher bo yitachem ha'uman. The craftsman delineates with his line machsheves binyan, or what he's thinking to do. He draws a line to show what he's going to do, but there's nothing here now. This is just the plans. This is just the machshava. Umashe yekav elasos. And the word kav, in fact, that line that shows what he's going to do, is like the word lekavos, to hope. What he hopes to accomplish. Mashe yekav elasos. Nigzar min kave el Hashem. What you hope, what you're anticipating. That's the kav tohu. The line is the line of tohu. There's nothing there, but it's the showing what a person's planning, what he's going to do. That's the kav tohu. Veho avonim, and the stones are when you build. That's the actual what you build with. Heim tsuros bebinyan. Those are the tsuros. So the avne bohu is when it's built, you use stones. But over here, when there's gonna, that's the avne bohu. V'chein kosuv me efes vasohu nechshavu lo. The first step is efes, nothingness, ki atohu achar ho efes. After the efes is tohu. V'einenu dover, it's almost as if the tohu is nothing. The world was tohu. It was first that substance was made that had almost nothing to it. There was no mamashus, but it had a power from which he could create other things. Bohu. And then he gave it the power, the tsura, that he could make the world with it. Over here, this land is going to be destroyed. V'reshua kos v'kipod. The wild birds are going to make it their permanent habitat. V'yanshu v'orev, and even those birds that don't always dwell in the wild. But those wild birds are also yishkenu ba. They'll dwell there. V'nata le'o kav tohu. And Hashem will stretch out on this land a kav, that line of tohu, of nothingness. Va'avne bohu, and the stones of bohu. But it means that the land will be totally destroyed, like bringing it back to the way it was before everything was created. It'll be destroyed. Choreho, it'll have its choreho, its noblemen. V'ein shal melucha yikro. But there's no one there that could be called melucha. There's no one there that has its noblemen from whom you would normally choose a king. But if there's nobody there, there's nobody that could be called melucha, royalty. You have noblemen, but v'ein shal melucha yikro. There's no one there to be called royalty. V'chol sareha yiyu office. And all of its officers. A sar, by definition, means he's an officer over the underlings, over those that are under his control. But v'chol sareha yiyu office. All of the sarim will be nothing because they won't be leaders over a country. And normally in a country, the people live, the royalty lives in a palace. When they're under attack, they go to a fortress. But now that'll be destroyed. The palaces will be grown, overgrown with thorns. Kimos v'choach b'miv tzareha. And in the fortresses, there'll be other types of thorns and thistles. B'miv tzareha and its fortresses. V'hoysa nevei sanim. And it'll now become a dwelling place for the animals, the jackals. Chotzir. Chotzir, like a chotzer, like a courtyard, a living place. Livnosiano for the ostriches. It'll become a place where the wild animals live. Ufog shutsim es iim. And the wild animals will meet each other at this place. Here they translate with all different creatures. The martens will encounter the cats. V'soyer al riyehu yikra, and one satire will call out to another. Achsham hirgio lilis, lilis will relax there, masala manoach, and find rest. Folks should see him as iyim. The Malbim seems to learn the chayos that come from far away with the ships. Like a tzi adir is the mighty ship. Folks should see him, the animals that come from far away that on the ships. They'll meet the iyim, the animals that come from other islands. V'soyer areyehu yikra. And soyer can mean the shadim. Soyer means a goat. But the goats were described as the power of the satan, which is a separate discussion. I believe we may have once discussed the Ramban with the soyer hamishtaleach. On Yom Kippur, the goat was sent out to the wilderness, and what the soyer represents, the land of Midbar, of desolation, of destruction, and the goat was sent there, and the goat represents the demons. The truth is, you even see the goyim have that concept. It's been carried on through the centuries. But, you know, you see, Halloween or whatever, they'll have sometimes a goat with a pitchfork or something like that. The soyer represents the power of the satan. But the soyer al reyehu yikra, the soyer calls to its other, and that's the place where the shadim gather. Achsham hirgio lilis, that's another type of shade. Over there, hirgio lilis, it finally is able to be calm, it feels at home, and it's able to rest. It's the land of desolation where humans don't go, and it's the place of the wild for the shadim. Shama kinana kipos. Over there, the kipos will make its nest. The kipos is a type of bird, the Malbim says. It's very beautiful. And people wondered where it came from. They couldn't find a place where it laid its eggs. It seemed to like come from nowhere. And it was this beautiful bird. They didn't know where it made its nest. But Shama Kinana Kipos, it was assumed it was out somewhere out in the wilderness where nobody ever went. And over there, the Kipos made its nest. Vatmalate, and she'll lay her eggs. The eggs come out from the body. Uvoka. And then the little chick, whatever, buka, breaks out from the nest, from the shell, vidogra bitzila, and it would make the bird call to attract its young, and the kipos would gather its young that just hatched from the egg, from the shell. That's the wild place where this kipos would raise its offspring. Achsham nikpitzu dayos. Isha Ru'usa, and the Dayos, another type of wild animal, that's where they would gather one with the other. Dir Shumei al Sefer Hashem. Search in the book of Hashem. Ukro, and you'll be able to read about this. Rashi says the Sefer Hashem is read Sefer Bereishis, about how at the Mabul, all of the animals and two of every species, everyone gathered to Noach to be saved from the Mabul. And just like over there, all the animals were gathered together. You can inquire me, I'll say for Hashem, just like you find in the Torah, all the animals gathered to be saved from the Mabul. Here they'll all gather to live in the ruins and the destruction. It'll now become a wild habitat, the land of Edom. Dir Shemei al Sefer Hashem, other Mephorshim learn, the Metzudas brings down, look in Parsha Shmini. In Parsha Shmini it discusses all of the birds and the animals that we're not able to eat, the Tamei animals. So if you read about all the wild animals and the birds, learn Parsha Shmini and all those species with its many subcategories. They'll all be there in the ruins of Edom, of Moab. Dir Shemei al Sefer Hashem. The Malbim learns, it's like a general who writes down the names of his soldiers. And when they're all supposed to gather together, the army, he'll takes a look at the army, and he has the roll call, and he can make sure that all of the battalions and all of the companies and every group is there, everyone is accounted for, and the army's all there. Here Hashem is the general, and he's gathering all of the birds and the animals to come to this, the ruins of Edom. Dear Shemael, say for Hashem, it's almost as if you would inquire by reading the roll book of Hashem, where he writes down all the animals and birds and everyone that's supposed to come. And if you could look in Hashem's book, Haviyachol, Ukro, and you'll read it. Achas mehena lo nedora. Not a single wild animal will be missing. Isha reusa lo fakadu. It's not like one animal had to call the other. The animals aren't just gathering each other. Kifi Hashem tziva. The mouth of Hashem is what is giving the command. The Rucha who keeps on, and Hashem's Ruach, Hashem's Spirit, is what gathers them together. V'hu hipil lehen gorol, it's as if Hashem cast a lot, he made a gorol. V'yodo chilkato lehem, and his hand has distributed the land to them, Bakov, with a measuring line, where he clearly showed where the animals should gather, where they should live. Ad olam yiroshuha. And then they will inherit it forever. Lidor vador yishkenuva. And from generation to generation, these wild animals will dwell here. Eventually, there will be the punishment that all those that didn't, as the Malbim explains, there's two types of punishments. There's those that worshipped idols and throughout their existence didn't want to attribute all the goodness and all of the everything that they've been showered, the bounty that they've been given, and they didn't give it and attribute it to Hashem, but they worshipped the idols and their own man-made religions. There'll be a punishment that now Hashem will show them the true Creator and source of goodness. And those that destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, Edom, will get their punishment at the end of times, that eventually the Yesh Din V'Yesh Dayan, there's a judgment, there's a judge, and everything is, even though now things don't seem to be, we don't see the Hashkacha always, and we don't understand why the good suffer and why the Rishonim seem to prosper. But at the end of days, there will be an accounting, and the nations will receive their punishment. And Amir Tzashem, the next parak, will talk about the reward, about the goodness that will come to Yerushalayim and to Tzion. We can stop here.